Listen up, people. That's right. It's time to listen to the sparks of bliss in your life. I'm your host and life coach, Caroline de Posada from Miami, Florida. And this podcast is an invitation to join me in upgrading our mindset, wellness, and relationships so that together we create a life that unlocks our bliss. Join me each week as we explore practical strategies, inspiring stories, and the moments of clarity, or as we like to call them, los momenticos, that make the world a little more magical. Consider this your weekly dose of wisdom in your pocket. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey, listeners, welcome to episode number 32 of Blissin' Up. This is a very special and meaningful episode for me, and I hope that it becomes a very special and meaningful episode for you. You see, today I get to celebrate my 45th birthday. I think it's such a crazy thing that of all the years that my birthday could have landed on a Sunday, it did so on the year that I launched this podcast, which airs every Sunday. And I took this very seriously because birthdays are a day where you get to celebrate and honor your birth, your coming into this life. Now, some people love birthdays and some people want to ignore birthdays because they don't want to think that they're getting older, or, you know, maybe they don't want to make a big deal or a big fuss about their birthdays. But I have come to really appreciate the ritual of celebrating the anniversary of your birth, because your birth is a miracle. I'd even say that you being born is the very first success that you can document in your life. Recently, I was at the National Speakers Association, and we invited my friend Crystal Washington to speak for the youth program. Crystal Washington is a futurist, and she came to talk to the kids about their future. But always when you talk about your future, it's important to look at the past and look at what came behind you, right? That's why we always study history. It's an important part of our future to look back. And she said two things that I thought was really cool. One of them was that the chances, the probability, because she's a futurist, she deals a lot with statistics and probabilities and data and things like that. And one of the greatest stats that she shared was that your probability to be born is 400 trillion to one. So the odds are pretty against you being born. And yet here you are. You made it. You were born into this life. So that was one stat that she shared. And the other stat that I thought was very meaningful was that the decisions of over 1,022 people created you. When you look back at your genealogy, it took 1,022 permutations of people before you were born. So all of that is pretty miraculous, and we get to reflect on that on our birthday. So my hope is that this is not an episode that you just play today, but it's one that you will re-listen to whenever it is your birthday, or you will share with someone meaningful to you on their birthday. Because no matter how you feel about your age or about birthdays, today is a day that you get to honor the miraculous nature of your life. You get to honor the success of being born. And I'm doing that today. But this is where it gets really interesting, because I do not celebrate my birthday by myself. I share my birthday with two incredibly important women in my life. One of them is my life coach and my mentor, Susan Ford Collins, who is 40 years my senior to the day. And today I get to celebrate and honor her 85th birthday. So incredible. And my wonderful assistant, whom I've grown to love, Daisy, has a beautiful daughter. Her name is Marie Celestine, and I've gotten very close to her over the years. And she also shares a birthday with me today. Today is her 7th birthday. So as I reflected on what I wanted to share today on this episode, it dawned on me that this is pure synchronicity, because on your birthday, you get to acknowledge where you are, you get to think about where you want to go, and you also get to connect the dots of what you've learned from the past. And Susan and Marie Celestine and you are representations of that. Susan is the representation of where I want to go, who I want to be in the future, who do I want to be at 85? Who do you want to be at 85? Marie Celestine is the representation of what I've learned. What would I share with the 7-year-old version of myself? What could I impart? What wisdom could I impart? What dots could I connect for the 7-year-old version of myself? And you are a representation of who I am today. You're walking alongside me on this journey. You're right here with me. You are the symbol of my present moment as we walk into a future together and as we connect the dots for those that come behind us. It made me think of breadcrumbs. You know, when you're on a path and you think of like, oh, follow the breadcrumbs, right, that somebody has left for you. You follow the breadcrumbs to make sure that you're going in the right direction, that you are on path. But it is also your responsibility to leave some breadcrumbs for those that are coming behind you. You get to be both a leader and a follower. You get to have a role model and be a role model. And on both ends, it is a privilege and a responsibility to be both. So that is what I am thinking about on my birthday today. So I want to start by sharing what I've learned from Susan. Susan has been such a guiding force in my life. She has been such an incredible role model, such an incredible example of who I want to be. In fact, if you've heard me speak about Susan in the past, I always say, Susan is who I want to be when I grow up. Because to me, she is the epitome of the life I want to live at 85. I came to Susan in 2015, shortly after my father had passed away, because my dear friend, Bruce Turkell, told me I had to. He basically didn't give me a choice. He was like, you have to go see her. And I didn't even know why I was coming to see her, but he forced me to do it. And she was my first life coach. She was the first person that I went to in the capacity of bridging the gap between where I was and where I was going. Up until that point, I feel that my dad had really always been my life coach. So I never really felt the need to look outside of that. But here I was, having lost my father, and I had mentors like Bruce and other incredible people in my life. But the time had come where I needed to really have a coach, like someone that I invested in, that I paid, that could guide me and teach me and move me forward. And Bruce was sure that Susan was it. And I have always been grateful to him for that recommendation, because she changed my life. First of all, she taught me about the power of language. She taught me how to use my words intentionally and how to speak like a successful person. As much as I had learned from my dad and my mom, quite frankly, because I think my mom was also a life coach both of my parents, I've had the privilege of having two parents that have really guided me in a beautiful way. So despite having these two extraordinary people in my life, that was a skill set that I had not learned to that yet. And Susan was the one that picked up on it. Susan wrote a book called The Joy of Success, which is the 10 skills of successful people. And with her, I got to go through those 10 skills and really learn how to step into the identity of a successful person. I had some of those skills already because of my background. I had certain successes in my life, but Susan was really the person that helped me identify those successes, acknowledge those successes, and define what success was going to look like for me going forward. So as a life coach, Susan helped me tremendously. She helped me write my first book, Looking Over the Edge, which actually was released on my birthday, also on my 40th birthday. I released my Looking Over the Edge book. You can find that on Amazon. I'll put it on my show notes also. And it was a beautiful book. And Susan was by my side throughout the entire process. And she was one of my editors, along with my main editor, Dave Bricker, who is a phenomenal editor. And I am deeply grateful for. He's also a dear friend. So Susan really helped me with this transition from the lawyer identity into the life coach, author, speaker identity that I wanted to step into at that time in my life. But more importantly than even that, what Susan gifted me was allowing me insight into the way that she lived her life. I would come visit her, and we always met at her house, and I got to live in her world week after week after week. And every week she would welcome me with a healthy, delicious cooked meal that we would enjoy together. Rich and deep conversations. I'd be able to go with her into her garden and see the herbs that she was growing and the vegetables she was growing. She always had a new food to introduce me to, or a new herb, or a new supplement, or a new book she was reading, or a new concept she was studying. Susan is a woman who walks 5 to 7 miles a day, eats to nourish her body and her brain, reads constantly, lives into her purpose, writes, works, moves, has hobbies. She is living, truly, truly living. And I look at her, and interestingly, there were certain things about her life that I wasn't ready to adopt, like the gardening, for example. And she simultaneously role modeled that life for me while giving me permission to postpone it because it wasn't my season. She always reminds me that I have younger children and I'm in a different stage in my life, and I'm in a building stage. I'm still creating and working and making money and raising my kids, and therefore, maybe I don't have the luxury of these hobbies, but I can start planting seeds and creating habits now that will support those hobbies when I get older and when the season changes. So that has been so insightful and so wonderful. And I just value our relationship and our friendship and our journey together so much. So Susan, I hope you're listening to this episode. I celebrate you and honor you today on our shared birthday, and I love you so much. There's a poem by NQ called The Only Reason We're Alive, and he talks about falling in love at 85. And although it's a romantic poem, it's a love poem, when I hear that poem, I think of Susan. Because I have fallen in love with getting to 85 if I can live like my dear mentor and coach, Susan Ford Collins. So thank you for creating that legacy and the inspiration to live an incredible life to 85 and beyond. So then we get to my dearest Marie Celestine. Marie Celestine is only 7 years old, and yet she is precious, full of life, a beautiful princess, and she's growing, and she's loves to learn, and she's motivated, and she's a dreamer, and she reaches out to me and sends me songs and videos, and you know, she's just this incredible little girl that is growing up to be an incredible woman, and I have all these dreams and hopes for her future. And today is also her birthday, and I think, what do I want to model for Marie Celestine? What do I want to leave her with? How can I be her Susan? What principles could I share with her? And if I was talking to the 7-year-old version of myself, well, what would I say? So here it goes. I'd start by reminding you every single day just how lucky you are. You see, there's something interesting about luck. Some people may think luck is a superstition, or it's magic, or it's luck of the draw, right? Like, it's not something that can be controlled. But actually, luck has been studied. And one of the things that research and science show is that people who consider themselves lucky and who are certain that the future is going to be full of good fortune actually create self-fulfilling prophecies, and they persist in the face of failure because they believe they are lucky. So they are more resilient to the unlucky hits because their overall overarching principle is that they are lucky. So I would say to the 7-year-old version of myself, just believe and believe and believe that you are lucky. Lucky to be alive. It takes us back to your very first success. You made it into this world when your chances were 400 trillion to one. You, my friend, are very lucky to be here. And therefore, this life is in fact rigged in your favor. So if you learn nothing else, go about life believing and behaving and choosing to act as if life is rigged in your favor, as if you are lucky, and luck will continue to find you. This is actually something that I learned from my dad. I often joke that the reason I'm such a happy person is because my dad brainwashed me into believing that I was the luckiest person in the world since I was little. I've shared in the podcast before that my parents have been divorced multiple times, and I grew up with stepdads and stepmoms, and there was a little bit of chaos in my life. But interestingly, my father always showed me how lucky I was. I'll give you a little example. When it was my birthday, at the time when I was little, like I was a little girl, it was my birthday, and my dad would say something to me to the effect of, "Oh my God, you are so lucky because you are one of the few people that get 2 birthday parties. I mean, you get 2 birthday parties, you get 2 Christmases, you get, you know, Santa goes to 2 houses instead of just 1 house. You get double the gifts. Your life is double the fun as everybody else. And your friends whose parents are all married, like, they only get 1 birthday party. They only get to celebrate at 1 person's house. Like, you get 2. And I remember growing up feeling sorry for my friends whose parents were married because their life was just not as cool as mine, because I got double of everything. I got double the fun. And that was just like one example of looking at life and your circumstances as if it is rigged in your favor, like believing that your life is a lucky life. And what I didn't know when I was little was that my father was training me in a Stoic principle. And that principle is amor fati, to love your fate. This Stoic idea encourages you to embrace whatever happens in your life as if it were part of a larger divine plan. Rather than resisting or lamenting your circumstances, you get to view your challenges as opportunities for your growth and for your learning. It's so easy to compare yourself to other people, to lament the trajectory of your life, to think that somebody else is luckier than you, maybe because they were born somewhere different, or born to different parents, or born to richer people, or born more beautiful, or born more athletic, or born smarter, right? We tend to think like, why didn't we get this or that? Or why couldn't our life have looked like this or that? But in reality, if you look at it as if you loved your fate, you were born to this life because this was the path you were born to take. This is what brought you here so that you can overcome these challenges, so that you can do better, so that you can be stronger, so that you can overcome these challenges. If you looked at your life like that, what would your future be? You know, I recently had a conversation with my mom, and in that conversation, she lamented the fact that she's been divorced a few times. She felt that, you know, she failed me in a way because she didn't give me like a traditional upbringing. And with so much sincerity, I can tell you that I am deeply, deeply grateful for my mom's path, for every choice that she made, for every mistake that she made, because I believe that it was my fate to be born to this family, to be born to this trajectory, because this has given me tools to be more resilient, tools to be able to work with different kinds of people, tools to release judgment, to embrace different perspectives, to be inclusive, to not be bound by rules and shoulds and should nots. I'm so grateful for my fate. And I would not have had that fate had my mom or my dad been different than who they were and made the decisions they made when they made them. So I hope, Marie Celestine, that at 7 years old, you begin to love your fate, because it is going to take you to big and beautiful places in your life. I just know it. The second thing that I would want to share with the seven-year-old version of me and with my dear Celestine is, you are not married to your beliefs or your choices. You're not even married to your identity. You can always choose to change. You can always choose to step into a new reality in your life. And there is nothing more liberating than knowing that you have the choice to change. So rather than working as if you are planning out your life forever, choose your next right step now, knowing that you are doing the best you can with the information you have in front of you right now, and that as you learn better, you will do better. My only hope is that as you choose each step in your life, you choose steps that are aligned with the highest version of yourself. Choose to stay on the light path. Choose wholesome decisions. decisions that will guide you towards the light, not away from it. Stay away from vices. Stay away from toxic people. Stay away from things that hurt you or that bring you down, things that diminish your self-worth or your self-esteem. But if, for whatever the reason, that is part of your journey and it is part of your path, and you meet something or someone along the way that takes you off your path to light, know that you can always choose to go back. You can always choose to get on path again, that not all detours are forever, and that you have control and power over your thoughts and your actions and your reactions. And with that, you can always, always find your way back. And lastly, the third thing I want to share with my little seven-year-old, even though I have thousands of things that I would want to share, but to keep this episode somewhat concise today, is you don't have to be like everybody else. You don't have to be perfect. And you don't have to always fit in. You get to be you, no matter what that looks like, no matter what that means, and no matter who that bothers, because there will come points in your life that if you try too hard to be like everybody else, you just might forget who you are. It's kind of like cooking. My husband always says that when you're starting to learn how to cook, you should follow recipes, because recipes give you a good sense of how to create something, right? It tells you what ingredients to use, how long to cook things for, et cetera, et cetera. But the point of the recipe isn't so that you can follow it to a T. The point of the recipe is to give you a guide so that then you can bring in your own flavor. And oftentimes when we're little, we learn all these rules and recipes and formulas for how things should be and how we should be and how we should behave. And we think we have to follow those recipes and formulas and rules to the T. And what ends up happening is if we don't fit 100% in those rules or formulas, we become paralyzed. We don't know what to do. So rather than bring in our own flavor, or rather than go by the beat of our own drum, we might just not cook. We might just say, the kitchen isn't for me. I'm not going to be a good cook. I can't follow this recipe 100%. So what I would encourage you to do is realize that you bring your own flavor to this life. Yes, you can use recipes and you can use rules and you can use formulas to guide you, like those little breadcrumbs that I talked about at the beginning, but you do not have to live a life on the exact path as anyone else. You do not have to follow the exact recipe. You get to bring in your own flavor, your own uniqueness, your own specialness, and never allow somebody else's path to paralyze you from making your own path. And I can't wait to see what your path, Marie Celestine, will hold. I know it's going to be great. So now that I've taken the opportunity to celebrate my elder Susan by looking ahead and celebrate my junior Marie Celestine by looking behind, it is time to wrap this up in a full circle moment by celebrating myself and you. Because we can neither live in the future nor in the past. The only moment we can live in is in the present moment. So this is 45, as we get ready to close out a year and celebrate another trip around the sun. I am making this the year to be daring. I want to dare to dream boldly, to act intentionally, to release unapologetically, and to enjoy blissfully this life that I've been given. And I invite you to do the same. I invite you to dare with me to walk alongside this journey and continue to grow and evolve and learn and connect the dots so that we both can lead and be led, so that we both can follow the breadcrumbs and leave the breadcrumbs behind for the future generations, and so that we can continue to create the legacy that is our life. I hope this episode serves you, and I hope that you play this on your birthday so that I can wish you a happy birthday, so that I can celebrate you and your journey and your path, and so that together we may follow the breadcrumbs, leave some breadcrumbs, and enjoy the journey of blissening up. So bye for now, and I'll see you next week. That's it for today's episode. Thanks so much for being here. I am deeply, deeply grateful for this time to connect. If you're loving this podcast, I'd love if you could support me by subscribing, rating, and/or leaving a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Those reviews help us so, so much. And if you know of someone who could really use a voice like mine in their head, please share this with them and let them know how much you care about their bliss. Now, if you are feeling called to dig deeper and really work on elevating your mindset, wellness, and your relationships to create a healthier, happier, and more meaningful life, then I invite you to schedule a 60-minute complimentary consultation with me. Let's have a meaningful conversation and see if working together is in our future. You can find the link to the calendar of consults right there in my show notes, but you can also connect with me on my website, carolinedeposada.com, or just send me a DM on Instagram, at carolinedeposada. Like my friend always says, the project is big and you're a part of it. So thanks for being here.